Hey, I'm super excited for today's podcast and to dig into the power of the pause. Before I dig into that, I want to share with you one of my all-time favorite resources out there, and it's called the Passion Planner. This is a notebook-style planner that has all of your weeks and months and all that stuff mapped out for you. But here's what makes it so amazing and why I love it so much. This isn't just any planner. This isn't just a place to house your schedule or your to-do list. This planner has built in places for infinite possibilities, for ideas, places to pause and set up your month for success, places to reflect on your week, on the month. I love this planner. To me, it has everything. It keeps me organized. It keeps my to-do list for work and for personal, but also it actually allows me the room and gives me some guidance on tapping the power of the pause, which is what I'm about to go into. I love my Passion Planner. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. And you know what? July is not too late to get yours. You will be thankful for the back half of the year that you did. Check out the Passion Planner. It's the best. Hey, Tamara here, Inside Launch Street Podcast. This is the place to be if you are looking to innovate, influence, and make an impact. So let's dig in so that you can be the rock star innovator you are meant to be. Today, I want to talk about something that I've actually been working on a lot, and that is the power of the pause. The power of the pause on your work, your energy, and your ability to innovate, to perform at a higher level. Now, I think in order to do this, we first need to discuss this culture of busyness that we are all in, this culture of rewarding people who are busy, busy, busy all the time. So I did some research because I wanted to understand where this culture of busyness and this hamster wheel actually came from. It turns out it actually really got dialed up in the 1980s. So as economic uncertainty set in, white collar workers, so people who kind of log 9-to-5 jobs, started logging in more and more hours, trying to make themselves stand out, trying to show that they did more, were more committed to their companies. So that's kind of where this spinning our wheels started, where this culture of busyness started. And think about it in your life for a minute and in your work. Don't we always reward those people who seem super busy? Like they must be so successful. We look at that person that is in the office from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. and we think, wow, they're on it, right? They're so productive. They're just making it happen. Or we see the person that answers emails at 2 in the morning and we go, oh, they're so dedicated at their job. Or worse, we look down upon someone if they're not busy typing away frantically at their desks. I mean, what do they do all day if they aren't answering emails or going from phone call to phone call? I mean, when you think about busyness, right, you get that image in your head of someone running around with it, like a chicken with their head cut off and phones ringing and a million things going and multitasking. This culture of busyness, it is pervasive and it's actually working against us. What we don't reward in our culture and what I want to talk about today is thinking. We don't reward thinking. We don't reward taking the time to pause and just think about how we want to move forward or what we want to do. The power of the pause. We don't reward that. So here's what I equate all this busyness to. I think it's like playing a tennis match, but not your usual tennis match. It's more like a tennis match where you're on one side of the court and then you're playing against 100 players at once and all the balls are coming at you just fast and all the time. And so all you can do is resort to swinging that racket, hoping you hit a few. Imagine that for a moment. You're on one side of the court. You've got 100 people on the other side of the court, and they're all hitting tennis balls at you at the same time. You can't adjust for each ball. In fact, you can barely change your place on the court. You just start swinging fast and hard. No finesse, no technique, and zero customization to match the type of ball they've lobbed over the net. That to me is busyness, being that one person with all those tennis balls coming over at you at the same time, where all you could do is just hope that you hit a couple and just do what you've always done and just hit and hit and hit. But what's the result of that 100 versus one tennis match? Well, as I said, the result is you don't hit most of the balls. The ones you hit, if you're lucky to get back over the fence, you don't even know what's coming at you most of the time. So let's translate that to the real world. That is bad solutions because we're hitting it in a way that may not work. It's bad that we end up with bad ideas, or we end up doing a one size fits all to every tennis ball, AKA our problems. For everyone thrown our way, we just have the same approach to tackle it. And you and I both know that different problems and different opportunities require different approaches. But because we're so busy, we haven't paused, we haven't given ourselves that room to pause, we just go at it all in the same way. Or, and I know this has happened to me, or you drop a lot of balls because you can't keep them all going. You can only hit the ones that end up in your line of sight, the ones that are immediate, the ones that are flying at you fast, right? It's all the fires we talk about. But I find those balls that I drop are the important ones because I don't even have time to deal with them. I don't even see them half the time. And more than likely, we're missing some major opportunities that are thrown our way because we're too busy hitting all those balls that are coming in directly at us. So when I think of this culture of busyness, of rewarding people who are in the office, you know, 18 hours a day and answering emails at 2 a.m. and just constantly go, 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 go. And maybe that's you. And maybe that's you because that's the type of culture you're in, or maybe that's you because that's how you feel like it's the only way you're going to get your job done. And believe me, I get it. No judgment. I have been there. And in fact, the day that I'm recording this podcast, I was up and in makeup and on air at 6 a.m. this morning recording a podcast with a guest that I'm super excited to bring to you. I was excited to do it. And by 3 p.m. today, I started, of course, to crash, but I was go, 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 go the whole time. And I realized, oh my God, I haven't stopped to pause and think about what's happening. So I get it. I'm not judging. You might be the one frantically going with a phone ringing and emails going and answering 2 o'clock in the morning. And you may feel that that is the only way to get it all done. Or maybe you're in a culture that rewards that busyness. So if you leave at 4 p.m., like you're going to look like you're not doing anything. So think about it for a second. And I think, you know, because we're in this culture of rewarding action or busyness, we give those people accolades when in reality, all we're doing is getting them or ourselves, if we're that person, stuck in that 100-to-1 tennis match. I think a lot of people talk about it as the hamster wheel and you're just going faster and faster, but you never leave the hamster wheel. So we got to get out of busyness and we have to start rewarding pausing and making that a part of our life and our work, which I'm going to give you some tools to do that as we get closer to the end of this podcast. I want to give you though a little bit of research as peppered through as I go through this next part, because I want you to understand that there is science and research behind the power of the pause. So for those of you who know me, you know, I like soft skills. I think they're important. And I'm a big fan of meditating, of walking, of exercise, but I want there to be science behind the things that I do and the things that I recommend. And I think it is important that we understand that pausing isn't just, hey, take a break. There, there, brown bear. That pausing actually has benefits that are backed by science and studies that are proven it. Let me give you some examples. A study of professional soccer goalies defending penalty kicks found that the goalies who stayed in the center of the goal just a few seconds longer actually had a higher chance of stopping the goal than those that lunged left or right immediately. It's the power of the pause on getting results. Now, we get why people lunge immediately, don't we? We get why people move. I think like the goalies, we just feel better when we do something or when we take action. But as you can see, pausing is sometimes the action we need to take. CEO of the Energy Project, Tony Schwartz, he writes, human beings perform best and are most productive when they alternate between periods of intense focus and intermittent renewal. Let me just equate this to fitness for a moment, or athletes. athletes train 7 days a week, but they don't work out intense 7 days a week. They do a certain amount of days of intensity and then a certain amount of days of recovery. If you go to the gym, you know this too. You need your recovery. That's actually when your muscles build and grow. Well, what Tony Schwartz is telling us here is that the same is true for the mind, that we need to alternate between kind of go, 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 and pausing and renewing. Let me give you some real world examples. So research in call centers showed that employees who spent 15 minutes, just 15 minutes at the end of the day, reflecting about the lessons learned, how they performed, they actually performed 23% better after 10 days than those who did not reflect. So the continual power of the pause improves performance. A study of commuters in the UK found something interesting. Those who were prompted to use their commute to think about and plan their day, instead of listening to music, listening to podcasts, talking, thinking about work, but just more pause while they were driving, they were happier, more productive, and less burned out than people that didn't. Well, if that's not a good reason or good proof right there, I don't know what is. Happier, more productive, and not as burned out, those sound like pretty good benefits to me. You know, in my work in innovation, I've been in this for 25 years, and in my work in research, what I found is that leaders and teams that continually pause to reflect, just slow it down, to assess, to get their feet under them, they outperform the other teams, and they create more long-lasting solutions to their problems. By the way, they also tend to find more opportunities than others may have missed. And in fact, I will tell you, I worked with this group recently on an innovation jam session, and prior to that, they were go, 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 jump to solution, jump to solution. And they weren't really getting anywhere. In fact, that's why they brought me in, because they needed innovation. Well, part of the innovation and the process that I brought to them included pauses. And they will be the first to tell you that out of that came stronger ideas, came stronger camaraderie among the team, and more productivity, because they realized that not just in the session together, but moving forward, they needed to include a pause in their work. Oh, the pause is so powerful. I hope you're all getting that. Now, I am not saying that if you work the phones at a family medical practice that you should let them ring without answering them so you can sit in your chair with your palms up to the sky and meditate. Or I'm not saying that if you're in back-to-back meetings, you should just not show up so that you can pause. I'm not saying either of those things. Look, sometimes we got to pack it in. But remember, that goes back to Tony Schwartz, the CEO of the energy product, about alternating between these periods of intense focus and intermittent renewal. That's a hard one to say. So I'm not saying, right, just don't show up and stop so you can pause. But I am saying, in your schedule, whatever it looks like for you, schedule moments to pause. Maybe it's at the end of the day. Maybe your meetings always end at 45 minutes after, so you always have a few minutes to just pause before the next one. I would tell you, when we go from task to task to task, we never close out the previous stuff that we've been working on, and we carry this mental residue forward. So not only are we not pausing, we're actually weighing ourselves down as the day goes on. So maybe on your calendar, when you're scheduling and work, you add extra minutes so that you don't rush and that you have the time to pause a little while you're in deep focus. Let me give you an example for me. The slides for the next idea jam for people in my masterclass and in my academy, I book 3 hours. Now, if I were just plugging through it, I could do it in two, and I would do it fairly well, but I could do it in two if I just was like, gotta go, 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 go. But I book 3 hours because I know that if I take a moment to pause and think things through while I'm working on them, the output is going to be a lot stronger. So maybe I end up taking 2 hours, maybe I end up taking the whole 3 hours. But the point is, when I schedule my work, I pad it with extra time so that I can pause, so that I can leverage the power of the pause in my work. Because here's the thing, your brain isn't idle when you pause. So there's this myth that if we're pausing, we're not working, we're not doing, we're not thinking. Well, the opposite is actually true. Let me cite some research to prove it to you that our brains are so active and in a better way when we're pausing. So there were these people they put through this study. And in the study, they were asked to sit in an MRI scanner, lay down, and be in a wakeful rest. Just kind of let their minds wander, like not really think of anything. Just pause. And what they found is that there was an increase in engagement in their default mode. We'll call it DM mode moving forward. And or this is of their neural processing and is relatively suppressed when attention is focused on the outside world. So your default mode, DM, of neural processing, typically when we're go, 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 and really externally focused, is suppressed. But when we're pausing, it actually engages. And there is this mounting evidence out there that the default mode brain systems activated during rest are also important for, get this, because this is where it becomes so important, mental processing, recalling personal memories, imagining the future, making further out connections between our experiences and knowledge, creating new perspectives and new ideas, and feeling social emotions with moral connotations. So when we pause, we engage all these powerful pathways in our brain that dial up our ability to think things through, to process all the stimulus we're taking in, to shift our perspective, to create further out connections that allow us to innovate. That happens when we pause. So I want to give you four things that you can do right now to add pausing into your workflow, whatever that looks like for you. And in fact, I mentioned a few before, stopping meetings at 45 minutes after, taking a moment at the end of the day to reflect. I got four more really concrete ones for you. Are you ready for them? All right, here we go. Number one, three deep breaths. It calms down the nervous system. So in a 2009 randomized controlled trial published in the Journal of Alternative Complement Medicine, it found that slow breathing exercises caused improvements in both the sympathetic and the parasympathetic reactivity and it improved hypertension. So it calms us down and it gives us a chance to get out of fight, flight, or stress, which often keeps us in busyness. Just gives us a chance to center ourselves. So when you can take it, take three deep breaths. Number two, sit in inquiry longer. Go with me on this one for a minute, because I think this is a huge place or room for improvement for a lot of us. Often, when we are presented with a problem, a situation, a challenge, what do? We jump to solution immediately. And we revere the people who seem to just have solutions fly out of them without even a breath going by. Here's the thing, when we do that, we stay on the surface, we stay incremental. Sometimes we even solve the wrong problems. So the next time you're presented with a problem or a challenge you're trying to solve, I want you actually to stay steeped in that problem. I want you to engage the power of the pause and just think about, well, what's the problem that caused that problem? Why do I care about this problem? What happened if I didn't solve this problem? What problem does this problem cause? We got to steep ourselves and not jump to action so quickly. It's kind of like those soccer goalies. Just take a second. See where the ball is going first before you start lunging left and right, because then you've only got a 50-50 chance of even going in the right direction. Sit in inquiry longer. This, in my work, has been the key to uncovering those really innovative solutions that actually move you and the business forward. All right, number three is walk away, as far away as you can get. Go for a walk around your desk, the office, the block, wherever it is. Here's why. Movement increases blood flow to your body and brain. So that blood flow, right, equals more activity, and keeping your brain and body busy with the act of walking frees up your subconscious mind to go to work. So your brain and your body are busy like putting one foot in front of the other, and that allows your subconscious mind to go to work. Number four is doodle. So like a walk, doodling and that kind of just drawing random shapes. This is not about drawing a landscape or a Picasso. This is just doodling, like triangle, triangle, square, I don't, whatever it is that works for you. It is just enough to calm the brain and it stops the focus on the outside world and taps your higher thinking. You know, I had this client once in our academy who, Casey, and Casey started doodling. Doodling really helped Casey think through problems, just come up with opportunities and solutions. Just every time he doodled, there's just magic and aha moments just were flying. And he told me how one day he was at his desk and his back is to the door of his office, and his boss came in and got mad at him for doodling because obviously he's not being productive. And I think that that's a real problem we have in our culture and work, where if you see someone just thinking at their desk or doodling or wandering a little bit or just kind of walking around the halls, we think, dude, get back to work. But actually, doodling is what made Casey so effective at his job. We got to get out of that mindset that pausing is not productive, because it absolutely is. Now, Casey had a conversation with his boss. The boss kind of came to realize, oh, okay, yeah, I get it now. And never said a word about Casey's doodling ever. In fact, put a couple of them on the wall in the hallway because he liked the doodle so much. But you see what I'm saying? Doodling helps us quiet the body and the mind just enough to just pause and let all those other benefits come to the forefront. Use the pause to be and do your best. So Florida psychologist Anders Ericsson, he wanted to understand what it took to be the absolute best at something. So he went to Berlin to examine the logs of the most successful musicians. These are like the virtuosos in their world. And here's what he discovered. This kind of blew my mind. He found that those virtuosos, the best of the best, were those who practiced the hardest for no more than 90 minutes and took more breaks and naps than the other musicians that were considered just good. So I think, to me, that's proof. Be intense and then rejuvenate. Be intense and then pause. Leverage the power of the pause. Here's the other thing. Pausing avoids burnout. So the brain is like a battery, and you need to recharge it. And so optimal performance is a combination of that intense work and that rejuvenation. Optimal performance isn't letting your battery get down to zero and trying to act like you're up at 100%. It's not how it works. So if you want to avoid burnout, you've got to put in some pausing. Now, this is, I told you in the beginning that this is something I've been working on, because here's the thing for me. I fly hot. So I need to be like, go, go, go. That's my edge. My edge is my intensity and my drive and my go nature. But I can't play at that level unless I pause in between. And it took me a long time to realize that. I'm 48, so it took me probably 47 and a half years to figure that out and to not feel bad about pausing, because I want to be intense. I want that edge. I'm not someone who runs on kind of an even keel. That's not where I do my best work. But if I want to work at that higher level, I got to engage the power of the pause. For you, whatever level is your best level, I promise you the power of the pause will help you sustain it long term and avoid the burnout. The pause also builds better innovation. Here's why. The first thing we think of is the incremental. So our brains are lazy and it wants to give us the easiest solution. So when we're presented with a problem or trying to make a decision, it goes to the obvious. It goes to what's already been done in the incremental. You and I both know that the incremental doesn't cut it, especially in today's world. To get to the innovative ideas, the ones that are really going to make an impact and last, we need to pause. In that pause, we access our higher functions and our thinking. That's where you'll find innovation galore. So if you are like me and feelings of guilt, as I was just talking about, creep in when I'm not pushing forward with maximum intensity, I hope this podcast will help you see how the power of the pause is productive. I also hope in listening to this, you will give yourself permission to pause, and not just permission, but really start building it into your day. Okay, before I go on today's podcast, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 3 minutes of silence. I want you to do like what those people in the MRI study did, where they just let their minds wander, just didn't think about much. They just paused for 3 minutes. I want to give you that on this podcast. So that's how we're going to close out. I'm going to give you 3 minutes of, wait for it, silence. I want you to just pause and see how that feels. Ready? Let's do this. Hey, I hope you took advantage of that 3 minute power of the pause I just gave you and didn't just shut off the podcast. Congratulations to you if you did it. Just that 3 minutes. Pause. Did you come up with new ideas? Did you just get a chance to calm and center yourself? Do you just feel a little bit more at ease or better? Did innovative ideas pop up? Did your mind get a chance to just dump out into the universe everything it was thinking and clear some space? Any of those things is possible. Power of the pause. With that, Tamara out.